It is our pleasure now to welcome into the show the author of a book that's coming out soon. Where in Nebraska can people explore a Stonehenge-inspired sculpture made from old cars, watch the night sky from one of the darkest places on Earth, float downstream in a livestock water tank through a more than century-old cattle ranch, and dive into a bottomless spring that some say is impossible to sink into? In Secret Nebraska Sandhills, a guide to the weird, wonderful, and obscure, longtime Nebraskan storyteller and photographer Alan J. Bartles provides a one-of-a-kind look into the region's lesser-known history and culture, discovered sometimes by accident, but also through dogged research and folklore, memories, and myths shared by generous Sandhills residents. Our pleasure to welcome and the author of the book, Alan J. Bartles. How you doing, sir?
Well, I'm good, Corey. Thanks for having me this morning.
And good to have you. And this is some book you've got. Now, you did one, was it a couple of years ago you came out with your first book about Sandhills attractions?
Yeah, that's right. 2023, we released 100 Things to Do in the Nebraska Sandhills Before You Die.
So you didn't get enough of the Sandhills, and you thought there were some more things to explore, huh?
You know, I can never get enough of the Sandhills. I've been exploring the region as a writer-photographer for 20 years or so. The 100 Things to Do in the Nebraska Sandhills Before You Die book was a lot of fun. 100 features in there about interesting things, and it's a true travel book. This book, Secret Nebraska Sandhills, not really a travel book. Of course, there's some things in there you can go seek out for yourself, but a lot of this is culture and history and mythology, legends, and outright lies, I think. and it allowed me to write about a handful of the features that were in the 100 Things to Do book. It allowed me to write about them at length, a longer, nicer storytelling feature. But most of this book is brand new stuff. 99% of it's brand new. And the previous book, one critique I heard from people was there weren't enough photos. And people have got to know me for my photography and writing. I was editor of Nebraska Life magazine for 11 years, and I've been writing as a freelancer before and since then. So the nice thing about the new book is there's about 170 photos, all color, and it just turned out beautiful. And it's nice features that allow me to entertain the readers rather than just guide them around the Sandhills.
Yeah, one observation I had, it really, your photos, I think, bring things to life along with the stories that, and the history, the facts, and as you say, probably outright lies that have been perpetuated down through the years. But I think the photos really bring things to life for people, and that's why really we're urging people to get this book. It's highly entertaining. And it covers so many different aspects in so many different counties. The Sandhills we're talking about 20,000 square miles of grassland that cover the state, but there's so many, that covers a lot of area in the state, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, about a quarter of our state.
Yeah.
And, I've seen some other travel books that write about the state, but when they touch on the Sandhills, it's very minimal. And, and that was the inspiration for the first book. I found a travel book about Nebraska, and there was only a few features about Nebraska. And my philosophy is if the region covers a quarter of Nebraska, then a quarter of that book should have been about the Sandhills.
Yeah.
And I approached Reedy Press, that's my publisher out of St. Louis, with an idea for a book, and they agreed. And that book sold great. People loved it. And they approached me about doing this book, which is part of a series, a secret series that they do. So I totally agreed and signed a contract and then spent a year visiting places I had been, but also new places. And a lot of these things are based on tidbits of folklore or things that people told me when I was traveling for Nebraska Life magazine, little bits of things that I was always curious about, or things that people told me in my freelance days that just were nagging at me. I just kind of kept a mental list of those things, and this book allowed me to go on this year-long adventure to seek these places out, and it was really enjoyable.
You dug up some real treasures, I think, and highly informing, for sure. One of the things that caught my attention was the little chapter you had on McPherson County, the last dry county in Nebraska. It was dry up until 2004, and you you title the section "Sip, Sip, Hooray." Tell us a little bit about how fun that was for you.
You know, that gives me goosebumps to hear you say that, because it's unimaginable to me that county was a dry county for so long. You know, even when they founded the county, they weren't even able to raise a glass of beer or wine or whiskey and celebrate, at least not legally. And, you know, to this day, like right now, the lodge in Tryon is the only business in the entire county with an active liquor license.
Yes.
So, you know, I need a photo for that, of course. And so there's a Nebraska historical roadside marker about Nebraska's last dry county. But who wants to look at a book full of pictures of markers and monuments? You know, not very entertaining. So, of course, I got a photo of that, and it's included. But then a friend of mine and her husband from Lincoln, they are the best traveled Nebraskans I know. They go on all the passport stops, and they hit all the state parks, and they're always on the road. And so I touched base with them to see what they were doing one weekend, and they happened to be over there in the area. So I got a hold of the folks at the lodge and asked if they'd mind if I come do some photos. And we got there and posed them with a beer. I bought them a beer for their trouble, and it was really fun. And you know what's interesting is that first beer that sold years ago legally, the first one ever, they auctioned it off, and it sold for $700.
Wow.
And it went to a school scholarship, which is great. And, you know, it was a Bud Light, which is that's way overpaying for a Bud Light, but I love the spirit of that and what they do there in the Sandhills. It's amazing. And this book is just full of fun little stories like that.
And then another one which got my attention, too, was up in Valentine, the Sandhills Time Warp, folks, they had an actual line up until the late 60s, I think you said, that you could cross either from the mountain to the central or the central to the mountain time zone.
Yeah, and that line was right down the middle of Main Street.
Yeah.
How ridiculous is that some bureaucrat out east, I'm imagining, you know, decided where to draw the time zone.
Yeah.
And he drew it down the center of a town, and it caused all kinds of trouble, especially at night when the bars on the east side of the street had to close. Well, those drinkers, a lot of them would cross the street, try not to get hit by the traffic, and go to the bars on the west side of the street, which could stay open legally another hour. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that is one of the crazy things, and I guess the residents got so fed up that they were able to get it moved like 18 miles west of town.
Yeah. Yep. They should have just done that to begin with, but, you know, during all this turmoil, and I won't reveal everything from the feature, but to try and mitigate that tension with residents, the post office adjusted their hours by a half hour, so they essentially created a third time zone in town, which didn't help things at all.
Nope, a little friction there. And then, you know, near and dear to my heart, since I'm a resident of Ogallala, is the UFO Tower. You devoted a section to that called Out of This World.
Yeah, you know, years ago, I heard about this. I had been to Ogallala, but I had heard about this water tower painted up like a UFO, and I didn't recall seeing it. So, you know, Ogallala is several hours from where I live, so I loaded up my cameras and filled up with gas, and I drove to Ogallala, and I found a water tower, and it was not painted up like a UFO. And so it turns out Ogallala's got more than one water tower, of course. But, you know, did some research on what that was all about, and B.J. Rieselman, World War II veteran and sign painter, painted that UFO in the 70s. And actually, before the book got printed, while I was working on it, he passed away, unfortunately. But what a legacy he leaves there with this UFO water tower, even with aliens peering from the porthole windows. And, you know, and that's a nice cultural thing. It's fun. And then this story's got a whole new modern connection with the second chapter brewing in the old Goodall Library.
Yep.
And I'm a fan of craft beers, and especially Nebraska craft beer. And since day one, you know, Richard and his wife let me in early in their operation. They weren't even open, but they let me in, gave me a tour, gave me a taste. And the spirit of that place is amazing. And I love how they've kept the library theme. But I'm an IPA fan. I like the India Pale Ale beers. Uh-huh. And they have a sci-fi PA, they call it. And the logo is this water tower. And so, you know, you can go to the brewery, have a couple drinks, talk about Ogallala, the Sandhills in Nebraska or whatever, and have a good time. And, you know, when I'm traveling, that's what I like to do.
And you also have sections devoted to the North Platte Canteen in Union Pacific's Bailey Yard, well known to the area, certainly, but even to other residents that have spent time in Lincoln County. I'm sure that was fun for you, and you probably uncovered some things that you didn't know.
You know, it's exciting, and, you know, everybody's into something different, and I'm not into trains necessarily. Twice when I've stopped to take pictures of trains, the police have stopped to check on me to make sure I'm okay in the Sandhills. But, the Bailey Yard is amazing, and what a great thing it is. Golden Spike Tower is there, so people can enjoy that. And I just saw they're getting a new director, and
yes.
So that's exciting that things are happening over there.
For sure. What was, I imagine the travels that you get to do and the people you meet probably stand out when you're putting this book together.
That's the best part, is the people. You know, in my freelance writing and in my time as a magazine editor, one of the most amazing things was that the Nebraskans I met were almost always willing to drop what they were doing to help me out with my crazy requests for information, or to pose for a photo, or give me directions to some beautiful place, or to share some part of their family history. And that was the best part. You know, the photography is the second, the vistas, the scenic vistas, the wildlife, the agriculture, just the sand hills any time of year, you know, from early spring and then the explosion of wildflowers. Mm-hmm. And then it starts to turn gold and bronze towards the end of summer into fall, and then the snow covered hills. So it's just, I love it. And, you know, right now, tonight, I will be out at Mullen. I've done a couple stories on the polar bear tank race event over the years. And both times I did stories, the weather was wonderful. And I'm actually competing in the event this weekend, and the forecast does not look so rosy. But the landscape will still be beautiful, and the people will still be top-notch, that's for sure.
Yeah. It really catches your attention right away, and how focused in on enhancing the book you are with your photos. When the people that purchase your book will see this boot, this upside-down boot attached to a pole and a fence, and then a metal arc on top of it, it looks like there.
Yeah.
And kind of was wondering, how long did you have your camera focused on the boot, hoping that a bird would land there and you'd be able to snap a bird on top of the boot?
Right. Well, first I want to point out, you can't forget the bird poop that's on the toe of that boot, which definitely revealed what was going on there. And that was a fun little photography trip through Brown County. And as what often happens for me in my photography, there's a lot of luck involved, and it's just about being in the right place at the right time. I certainly was not sitting there for hours waiting for that to happen.
I'm sure. Yeah, that the pictures that I saw, I just think just outstanding, enhanced the book so much. But your storytelling is A+ too, and I love it. I enjoy it, and I'm going to read more of it as I get the opportunity. When will the book be published?
Sure. So the book is available now through my publisher, and that's ReedyPress.com. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was my book release event is going to be at Plains Trading Company Booksellers in Valentine on April 10th.
Okay.
And then after that got scheduled, there was an opening at the printer, which allowed us to print early. I didn't want to reschedule those events, so it is actually available now.
Okay.
Retailers are starting to get it now, and I do not have a list of the retailers yet where it's at. April 10th and Valentine will kick it off, and then I'll be in Thedford the next day, and then Lincoln, and then back to Stapleton, Llewellyn, and North Platte. And so if people want to find me on Facebook, they'll be able to keep up with the events and the things with the book.
All right, check it out. He is Alan J. Bartles, author of Secret Nebraska Sandhills, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Beautiful book. I even saw that you have been bestowed by a past governor of the state honorary title of Admirable in the Great Navy of the state of Nebraska. That's pretty good in a state that's a triple landlock, huh?
Yeah, and I would prefer if you would refer to me as Admiral Bartles.
Okay.
But yeah, that's a fun tongue-in-cheek thing, and lots of people have had that title bestowed on them, but it's a fun little thing to put on the back cover of a book. And, most importantly, the best accolades are when people say, hey, I enjoyed your story about this or your book or your photo. Governor titles, those are secondary or way down the line.
You've received a lot of awards for what you've done, and you've been published in Nat Geo, USA Today, Smithsonian's Air and Space Magazine, and just last year received the Friend of the Byway Award from the Sandhills Journey National Scenic Byway and the Friend of Tourism Award from the Nebraska Tourism Commission. That's always nice, too, to get kind of recognition that way.
No doubt about it, and, those tourism events are great. And, I'm joking when I say I don't appreciate the accolades. I do. But just like traveling the Sandhills, those tourism events, the Byway event, when I received that award, the room was full of people, a lot of which that I've known for years and years. So that was fun. And then the Nebraska Tourism Award, when I left Nebraska Life Magazine back in 2021, I lost contact with some of those people.
Uh-huh.
And then to be honored with that award in Lincoln was amazing, and an opportunity to reconnect with some of those people from my early magazine days, and really appreciate all of that.
Well, Admiral Bartles, we appreciate you spending a portion of your morning with us today. It's been a pleasure visiting with you, and hope you sell lots of books. You should. This is something that will definitely be a good read and keep you turning pages. And I think I'll get through this pretty quickly here when I have a day, have some downtime. Just flip it on through it, and then I'll be more knowledgeable about the state of ours, and especially the Sandhills, and I enjoy it.
Well, I appreciate that, Corey, and when I'm in North Platte, I will stop by the station and sign that book for you.
Oh, that'd be great. Appreciate it, Alan. You have a great day and great travels as you go around on these book tours, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. There he is, Alan J. Bartles, the author of Secret Nebraska Sandhills, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure.